Praise God. I want to welcome all of you to our Friday night Calling the Remnant podcast. God bless you for joining us. I'm really grateful that we have the opportunity once again to gather together and talk about the good things of God. I mean, honestly, once we gather together, we really don't even know what God is going to put on our hearts to talk about. Sometimes it's the great things he's doing. Sometimes it's lessons he's teaching us. Sometimes, really, you never know. Sometimes they put together what I like to call a spiritual word salad. Things that go from this direction and this direction and this direction. But every time we come here together, God always puts together, helps us put together something that I really believe is going to touch at least one person's heart. So if you're out there watching us, I pray that you really take to heart what we're going to be talking about, because I believe it will touch your heart. All right, what are we going to be getting into today?
Well, I too want to welcome everyone here. I'm Pastor Danny, Pastor Benji, my wife Julie right here. And as Benji said, we never know what we're going to be talking about. I come in here on two wheels, as they say. I screech down, I sit down, and I literally scribble down a couple of things on the thing to say, all right, maybe we can hit up a couple of these things, because we always want the Holy Spirit to rule the day and to say whatever he wants to say in this moment. So we don't give a lot of thought to it. So I believe whatever we're going to talk about is going to be fresh from the Lord and just for those of you listening tonight. So as we were sitting here literally like 60 seconds ago, the Lord gave us a scripture, and we're just going to kind of talk about this scripture. So go ahead, Julie, read that scripture to us.
All right, that's in 3 John chapter 1, the fourth verse. Says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
Yeah, that's that. You know, that's one of those scriptures that it doesn't appear in a lot of T-shirts or, you know, bumper stickers or things like that. But it you're listening to John, who at this point maybe is. Older, he's been around a long time in doing the work of God as an apostle, and he's looking at those that he has brought up in the Lord. He's calling them his children, and what? Think about this. This is the apostle John. This is the one that laid his head on the chest of Jesus, and what does he say is the most important thing, the thing that makes him the happiest, is that his children, those that are serving God, are walking in the truth. That really is the. Now you can call me a Bible geek or a fanatic.
I was gonna say
a theology geek. I don't know, but that kind of stuff that you talk about chills up and down your spine. That sends chills up and down my spine when I hear a scripture. And it just came to just a couple of minutes ago. When I hear a scripture like that, it sends chills up and down my spine. Because here sits the Apostle John, and he says, my children, if you want me, the Apostle John, if you want me to have joy as your spiritual father, it's about the truth. It's about the truth. And we can take something from that. So let's just talk about that for a couple of minutes. Let me start by saying this, because I want to talk about the right side of the truth. But let's talk about the other side for just a moment. The Bible makes it clear in no uncertain terms that the devil is a liar, that everything that does not originate from the very throne of God, it is a lie. It is a lie. And it's easy for Christians to sit there and say a cute little saying, or maybe a children's song, or to, you know, say, oh yeah, 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 the devil's a liar. We know the devil's a liar. But it's another thing to really believe and understand the words of our Lord and Savior that he's a liar. Yes. Because if you understand that the devil's a liar, really understand that, it changes things in your life.
Yes.
It changes how you view things. It changes how you do things. If you now, again, you have to kind of extrapolate that out for a minute or for a little bit and say, okay, if the devil's a liar, what are the works of the devil? What are the things the devil tries to sell us? What are the things the devil says and does? Well, we know that sickness is of the devil. Anyone that doesn't believe sickness is of the devil, just please, just go ahead and turn off the podcast now and don't watch, because you're not going to get the rest of this if you don't believe that that sickness is from the devil. It is absolutely from the devil.
Fear
is from the devil. Depression, discouragement. Let me just add some other things. Lack is of the devil. God, there's nothing in God's word that shows that God prefers his people to lack. There are times that maybe God has people walking through things and he uses it to teach them, but the abundant life is what God wants for his children.
Right.
Lack is from the devil. There are so many things that we have given ourselves over to and that we've accepted in our lives, and that we've given even place to the devil. And the Bible says, give no place to the devil. We have given place to the devil because we've just accepted them. Not that we want it, but we've accepted it. We've accepted a certain amount of sickness. We've accepted that the world is going to have a certain amount of say in our lives. Why? Because we say, well, I need the world to help me with my sickness. I need the world to help me with my lack. I need the world to give me the right pill so that I'm not depressed anymore. I need the world. And so we've intertwined ourselves with the world is what we've done.
Because taking a pill and things like that seems so much easier than what we're talking about.
It does, and we've created mixture in our lives, and we all know what the Bible says about mixture, and it cannot stand in God's people. Not if you're going to do the work of God. Not if you're going to walk in the supernatural. And so because we've not accepted that the devil is a liar and that everything that emanates from him, we don't want in our lives. We don't want it. Mm-hmm. Because we've not accepted that, then not only have we allowed these things in our lives, but we've done something even far greater in a negative way. We've kept ourselves from the truth. Because if you do not accept the devil's a liar, then you cannot accept the truth of God. It goes hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. If you allow the lies of the devil into your life and you accept it, then you're not going to be accepting the truth.
Let me put that in a different way real quick. If you're deceived to believe a lie, then when you hear the truth, you're going to disagree with it.
Well, and that's very true. That really is a place that so much of the church stands today. And the Bible speaks about people like this. It talks about people that, maybe not in this exact words, but people that wouldn't know the truth if it came to them. And that's a very sad place to be at. To not even recognize the truth is a sad, sad place for Christians to be at. Now, we've talked about the devil being a liar. Let's kind of start moving toward the other side. But before we can talk about just the truth by itself, we have to move to the next level, which is the truth or fact level. You said, and maybe if you've heard me preach at all, you've heard me talk about this a little bit, but what most Christians discern as truth is actually a fact. And there's a difference between the truth and fact.
It's like a gray area between lies and truth.
And we all know, again, I'm in my book that's sitting right there, a large portion of it is given over to talking about the gray areas of our life, that we can't live in the gray areas. The gray areas seem so good, but they're not supernatural. That's very, very true. Fact is exactly that. It is fact. You cannot change necessarily what a fact is. The fact is, my wife is sitting right there. The fact is, my son is sitting right there. He's wearing a very bright orange shirt. You cannot change the fact that he's sitting. That is a fact. But there is a higher level of living and of serving God than the fact level. That is why the Apostle Paul said, we do not look at what is seen, but what is unseen. And the reason he said that is because what you see is a fact. You actually see it. I see this bottle of water here. I see a gnat sitting there across from us producing the show.
It doesn't take faith to believe a fact.
It doesn't take faith to believe a fact. It is a very fleshly, earthly thing. But the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so what the devil has done, he has filled the church world with facts. And the church world ministers are the worst about this. They get up and they preach fact. And they've got the crowds yelling. They're amening. They're screaming. Oh, that is so that is so good. I'm sorry, Nat. I didn't mean to screech it for you.
We all heard it.
But they're preaching the facts. And the facts are fleshly. It is natural. It is earthly. And the Apostle Paul said, do not look at what is seen. Another way of saying it would be this. Don't look at what is factual. Don't look at what is factual. Well, if we're not to look at what is factual or seen, well, he said it the very next verse or sentence. He said, look at what is unseen. Look at what is unseen. So many times we get so stuck in the minutia of the facts of life, the facts of our circumstances, the facts of the doctor's report, the facts of our bills, the facts of our relationship, the facts of how we serve God, that we forget there's something more important than facts. It's the truth. It's the truth. And I always use this example. The fact is that the doctor might tell somebody you have an incurable disease. But the truth is, by his stripes, I was healed. Mm-hmm. You see, the fact might say, well, I have no education. I have no background in anything. I'm stuck in a dead-end job making very little money. When the truth says that he's come to give us the abundant life. Mm-hmm. You see, there's a difference. That's not ignoring the fact by saying, well, the fact just is not. No, it is making an intentional step of faith by saying, I know the facts are there, but I'm not going to look at it.
But there's something bigger.
There's something greater.
Higher.
That trumps the facts. Mm-hmm. God, his word, his plan, his truth always trumps the facts. But here's the kicker of it. This is the gotcha part of it. It's always there. It's always there. But if we do not choose to close our eyes to the facts. You say, well, we can't do that, Pastor. We can't do that, man of God. We can't do that. But that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said to do. He said, while we do not look, we do not look at what is seen, but we look at what is unseen. We look at what is eternal. We look at the truth. You see, facts are temporary. Facts are temporary. He's wearing this bright orange shirt, but he won't be wearing that bright orange shirt for all eternity. Well, at least I hope that's not what we're wearing for all eternity. But he's not wearing that for all eternity.
I'm going shopping after this.
The fact is he's wearing it, but that's not eternity. Facts go, they come and go, but the truth stands forever. The truth never, never, ever goes away. And those are the things that we've got to learn to look at, to live by. That is why so many people, and we've had our share of these people over the years, they get frustrated and they walk away from the things of God. They walk away for a lesser way of serving God. They still think they're serving God, but you can't go backwards. Not really, you can't. They walk away from into a lesser way of serving God because they don't understand. They don't understand that if you do not intentionally do it, you're closing off the supernatural in your life. And then they sit there and they say, well, it just doesn't work. No, it's not that it doesn't work. It's that you didn't work. You didn't do the right thing.
Right.
You've got to intentionally close off the factual way of living. And I know that's now, the devil has done such a good job of making that sound crazy to Christians. Because what you hear from most Christians is this: well, God gave you a brain, you better use it. That's what they say. God gave you a brain, you better use it. But what my Bible tells me is that we should put our mind off and put on the mind of Christ.
Right, yes.
That's what my Bible tells me. And so we live in this mind of reason. We live in this world of fact.
And logic.
And logic, and we don't walk in the truth.
I think another way to explain that would be that the facts and logic and using your brain, that it's easy for things to get very mixed up and for those gray areas.
Yes.
And the truth and the way God does things is a world of absolutes.
Yes,
of black and white, darkness, light.
Yes.
There's not this sea of in-between stuff.
No, that's humanity.
The gray stuff.
The
right.
Gray stuff is humanity. Anything that is not clear is human. Everything's clear to God. And that's not to say any of us are perfect in that.
No, right.
Because
right.
We're not.
No,
But you have to choose to live your life getting away from the gray stuff. Because what the devil does is he takes the darkness over here and the light over here, and what he does is he gets Christians living in that gray area in the middle, and where they can say, well, I'm not pursuing the darkness, so I must be good. I'm not pursuing the darkness, and so I must be all right with God. I'm not pursuing the darkness, so really it doesn't matter anything else that I do. And that is the plan of the devil. The devil says, you know I'm not going to get God's people just to chase after the darkness, but I've got to keep them from going after the light. I've got to keep them from going after the truth. I've got to keep them from going after God. And so there's that gray area in the middle that he keeps God's people in. It kind of sort of sometimes looks like it's good, and he has God's people doing maybe some good things sometimes. Well, you know, I helped out a friend. I did good. You know, I fed a couple of hungry people. I did good. You know, I went and did a mission trip when I was 18 years old. I've done good. And it's that gray area, but nobody's wanting to live in the supernatural. But the Bible says without faith, which you've heard me say many times, without the supernatural, you can't please God. You can't. Faith is not some just weird, ethereal idea. Faith is the supernatural that God wants us to live in. That's what faith is all about. I don't know. Do you have anything else you wanted to add before I kind of want to bring this, say it in a little bit different way, and see where it goes. But I've said this before, and I hope this brings a little bit of understanding to people, because this is what the devil does. Let me just say it, and then I'll explain it. If something is the truth, you don't have to zigzag to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to zigzag. You can always get to the truth in a straight linear line. You don't have to zigzag. You say, okay, well, that sounds good, but what does that mean? Well, what we do in our lives is this. We find something that we want. We find some way we want to live. we find something that we feel is what we how we want to have in our lives, what we want to have in our lives. And then as Christians, what we do is we try to find a way to get to it. We try to find a way to say, okay, if I can find a good path to get to that, then that means God wants me to have it. That means God wants me to live like that. That means that it's okay. And so we have something up here and we say, okay, I can't get there in a straight line without it feeling like sin. But if I can go this way and say, okay, you know, it's the Bible says I need rest for my body, so I'm going to go here. And then maybe over here, you know, God says, you know, I need to support my family, and so I'm not going to go to church today because I need to do my job over here. And then, you know, maybe I'll move from that over here to, you know, well, we've got family in town and God wants me taking care of my being with my loved ones, so I'm not going to go to church today over here. And before you know it, you're not going to church for this, and you finally get to a point of, I don't need to go to church anymore. Oh, I've just proven it. I've just proven that I don't need to go be at church anymore. Much less going and finding where the anointing is. Don't get me started. You know, that's all our podcast. We talk about the importance of the prophetic anointing, the importance of finding where the anointing is. But even people, they don't want to go to God's house anymore.
It may not all happen all at once, but the devil's not afraid to play the long
game. That's right. Yes. And so what you do is, 1 year it starts with just one reason you don't go. Then the next year it's, well, I need to do some work. Then the next reason is this. And before you know it, you've taken five or six zigzaggy steps to eventually getting to what you really wanted in your heart. And that is, I just want to be my own pastor. I just want to be my own minister. I just want to be able to put on Christian music at home and worship God my way.
And follow my own desired schedule.
I can pray the way I want to pray. God is everywhere. He's in my car. I could have a service in my car. And actually, it's amazing how many churches are actually started by people that just want to do it their own way. And either they become the minister or they go find someone that does it their way. And those churches thrive. They get sometimes thousands of people because they find a group of people that want to do it their way, that want to live their way. I just gave one example, but it's millions of different things that we zigzag. We zigzag until we get to the answer we want. But the truth doesn't work like that. The truth is a standard, as Julie was saying, it is a standard for eternity that doesn't change, and you can get to it like this, boom, boom.
Point A to point B.
It's that easy. If you can't get to it, boom, boom, then it's not truth. Mm-hmm. It's not truth. And what people do, and again, we've seen lots of people here over the years do it. They throw in what they consider to be the things in the Bible that are important to them. They throw those things in there and they mix it up and they say, oh, and then they throw it out and they say, oh, we're giving you some real good God stuff here. They live the way they want to live and they throw the word love into it, and all of a sudden it's a God thing. They live the way they want to live, and they throw in, we're being led by the Holy Spirit in this direction. And all of a sudden, it's a God thing. You see, but that's not how God works. That's not how he works. You might think that's how he works, but he doesn't.
Can I just simplify for a second?
Please.
It's just one little principle that anybody can say, and a lot of people probably do say, but hardly anybody, Christians in general, live like this. It's one thing to live in sin, but God doesn't look on it any higher if you're mixing sin with God things. That is creating a huge gray area.
Well, it is, and again, this kind of takes us back to where we started. The Bible speaks a lot about mixture. that you cannot have mixture, that we take what is holy and we try to mix it with other things. I preached recently about, I believe it was Phineas in the Word of God, where there was someone that was a part of the holy seed had married someone that was not a part of the holy seed and was trying to bring her to the house of God, to go into the holy house of God. And Phineas, with the righteousness of God behind him, he picked up a javelin, the Bible says, and he threw that javelin, threw that spear before the woman was able to go into and bring mixture to the house of God. Now, again, I know people say, well, Pastor, how does that fit today? Well, no one's throwing javelins at anyone going into God's house, of course. But the principle is the same, that we have to have such a distaste for mixture that we're willing to do anything in our lives to say, God, we never want anything that you've made holy to have mixture. We never want to bring unholiness. We want to try to save souls. We want to try to bring life in the name of Jesus. We want to try to turn people to you, but we never want to bring mixture. And so, again, if you have to zigzag, and the devil, Benji's right, the devil plays the long game. Because if he can get us to take one little step every couple of years, then after a while, you don't even know that you took a step. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even know that you, but after so many years, if you were to look back, you would see, boy, I don't even know what the truth is anymore. And I've heard so many people say that. So many people say, I don't even know what the truth is anymore. I know God is there. I know that I love God, but I don't even know what the truth is anymore.
You're still living in a gray area of confusion. And even at something like that, the devil says, I've done my job.
That's exactly right. And they say, I love God. I love God. I know he's there. But I don't know what the truth is. And so because I don't know what to do, then I might as well just do what I want to do.
You know, Paul, he addressed that even when he was teaching Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, you know, be diligent to present yourself approved to God and work and be diligent about it, rightly, correctly handling the word of truth, rightly dividing, you know, different versions say that, but it's a very sobering thought and a directive that we've got to pay attention to, correctly handling the word of truth.
It's so important. And, you know, listen, when people are setting up for themselves ministers, they're setting up for themselves pastors, because anybody can be a minister. Anyone can be a pastor. They've so have that ingrained in their hearts and in their minds that eventually you just get to, if anyone can be a minister, eventually you get zigzagged to your own truth of anybody can do what they want to do. That's what the devil, he's played the long game. Over the last 40, 50, 60 years, that's what he's done in the church. That's what we've come to. And because most people today were not even alive when the devil started doing it, they don't see that he started this plan. Because they weren't even alive when things started happening. They don't see it. They don't understand it. And so, again, the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He, if you can't point it directly to Jesus, then it's not the truth. It's just not. If you have to zigzag in any way, it's not the truth. It's just not. And so I hope you've heard and been ministered to by this. And I hope that it has lit a fire under you.
I want to say two more things.
Please.
The first thing I want to say is everything that we said, I encourage you not to go about it using your feelings. And that could not, that doesn't just go for this. That goes for anything spiritual, anything that having to do with the Word of God. If you let your feelings drive it, that's one thing that the devil will use to try to pull you into a gray area, pull you into confusion, use your feelings, your emotions, and things like that. My dad said years ago, very simply, your feelings are going to lie to you.
Yes.
So I want you to remember that.
The devil uses, he uses our feelings to lie to us. And I want you to think about how insidious it is, because what we say is, well, I wouldn't lie to myself. I really feel this. I really feel this. I wouldn't lie to myself. But let me just say this to you. You lie to yourself every single day. Every day. And the devil uses your feelings to do it. And it doesn't mean your feelings aren't real. Your feelings might be factual, but they're lying when it comes to the truth of God.
Right.
What you feel is irrelevant. Say it again. I've learned this my entire life from this prophetic heritage we walk in. Your feelings are irrelevant, which is the stands opposite of what's being taught in the church world today, which is, oh, come be a part of this church because we want to make you feel good. Every other church sign that you see says, oh, we want you to feel like you're at home. We want you to feel like you're somebody. We want you to feel it's all about appealing to your feelings. I want you to know, I don't care about your feelings. Not like that. This man of God cares about if you're able to walk on the water.
Right.
This man of God cares about if you're able to minister that the blinded eyes are open. This man of God cares about if you're pleasing God. Because that's the only thing that matters.
Yes.
Is pleasing God.
And I had one more thing. This one will take just a second. It's up to you whether you believe it or not. No matter what, God is going to have his way. No matter what, God is going to have his way. It's up to you whether you're going to be a part of it or not.
Amen. And that's a good place to end. Benji, tell them about our services.
All right. First, I want to encourage you to follow us on our online platforms, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We have our regular services Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m. in person here at the City on Hill Church in Loganville, Georgia. We're also streaming those services on our online platforms. And our online platforms also include something going on every day of the week. Remnant 101 with me on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Devotions on Monday, Thursday, and Saturday again at 8 p.m. Calling the Remnant Podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. You can find our podcasts on Spotify, wherever you can listen to podcasts. Tell Siri or Alexa to play our podcasts. We made it so easy just to listen to these podcasts, just to hear the words that we're speaking. But we believe that we're really speaking the truth of the Lord that he's putting on our hearts through these podcasts and everything that we're doing here at the City on a Hill. So if you really want to get the truth of the Word of God into your heart, listen to what we're doing here at the City on a Hill. And please come join us for what we're doing as well.
Right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you said that really fast. So if you have, you might have to go back and slow it down and listen to it. But everything he said, ditto. We come and watch us. Come and visit us. Come and join us. See what God is doing. He's doing miracles. When we say miracles, we don't mean just pat you on the back, you're going to be okay. We mean God is doing things that man can't do. That man can't do.
He's intervening. He's just intervening in an instant.
He so is intervening.
Changing the course and the direction. We have so many testimonies.
So many.
That are happening.
And we're going to, last week we did a almost kind of a look back miracle talk. We're going to do another one really soon. Because you need to know what God is doing. It's exciting, and it'll build your faith.
Yes.
God bless you. We'll see you next time.